Thursday nights this year, of course, studying prayer and lessons from the Word of God on prayer. I've gleaned so much, and I'm so thankful for that and what all God's taught. I trust you have too, and able to start applying it into our lives. But in Matthew chapter number 6, and I know we've visited this passage quite a bit this year, but as we study prayer, you know, we keep coming back to it, but I kind of feel like it's like this passage of Scripture with prayer. It's kind of like the widow's barrel of meal there in Second Kings or First Kings, I believe, whenever in the cruise of oil. Every time they went back, they found more. And this passage of Scripture is that way. I think it's an important passage of Scripture, and because the Lord gives us some specific lessons on prayer. So when you study prayer, it's hard to, you know, not keep pointing back to this passage of Scripture, because when Jesus sits down and teaches you a lesson on prayer, probably should really pay close attention to it if we're going to learn what prayer is. It's interesting to stop and think, you know, in the Old Testament, there's not really any instructions on prayer. Moses never gave any laws concerning how to pray and things. The prophets are kind of vague on that as well. We know they did pray, but there's not a whole lot of instruction there. And here in this passage of Scripture is one of the first times we have specific teaching on prayer. To kind of give you the context of it, Jesus has called his disciples. Look over in Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 17. Just kind of give you a timeline what's going on. In chapter 4, verse number 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." So the Lord begins his ministry. Verse number 18, he begins to call the disciples. You can see that in 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. It says, "And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." He calls his disciples. He begins the ministry. And we understand here, when we get to chapter number 5, we have one of the first public teachings to his disciples. It says in chapter 5 and verse number 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." So he now begins this instruction time, teaching time, for his disciples and for all those who were following him. Now we know in this passage of Scripture we have what we have called the Sermon on the Mount, but again it talks about the believer's life. It talks about how we should live as a believer in the kingdom of God. And understand this, all right? When it comes to the kingdom of God, there's a lot of misunderstanding out there. The kingdom of God is nothing physical right now. That does not exist. If you want proof for that, I can point you to Romans chapter number 14 and verse number 17. Let me read that verse to you real quick, because the Bible makes it very clear amongst other verses. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." We know from John chapter number 3 that Jesus, as he's speaking to Nicodemus, we enter the kingdom of God upon being born again. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God, and again, that's where the Lord follows that teaching, saying you must be born of water and of the what? Spirit. All right? So the kingdom of God is a spiritual thing right now. Now, one day it will be a physical reality when the Lord rules and reigns from this earth. He will do that following 7 years of tribulation. But for now, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, as Romans says, but rather it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If I can summarize it, and I'm not meaning to teach a lesson on the kingdom of God tonight, but to summarize it, it's when we get saved, we enter into the family of God, where all those who have trusted in Christ, we're brothers and sisters. Amen? I don't care where you are, around the country, what church you're in. If you're saved, you're my brother, you're my sister. Amen? So that's the family of God. The body is the local church. And then you have the kingdom, which is the believer who enters that upon salvation, but it is living and acting as a subject of the King. It is righteousness, joy, and peace from the Holy Ghost. It's living a life that you know that He is my God and my King, and I'm going to serve Him. And we're faithful in the kingdom of God. Now, He's given us instruction. If you're going to be in the kingdom, chapter number 5, verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And He goes on and He teaches these lessons of what it is to live a life with God as your King. In this kingdom, He's not only your King, but He introduces the fact that He is your Father. He continues this teaching. It doesn't end in chapter 5 and verse number 48. He continues this teaching. Matter of fact, it goes on into chapter number 7. But He continues this teaching in chapter number 6, talking still continually what it is for us to be one of God's children living in this world. He talks there in verses number 1, 2, and 3 about alms in verse number 4. Then we get to verse number 5 as He begins to teach us about prayer. So His instructions for us living in this world, saved, family of God, seeking to be faithful in the kingdom of God, how do we pray? So this is an important lesson. It's really the first time the Lord sat down and given this type of instruction. You'll not find it anywhere before where we're given specific instruction on how to pray. So the Lord gathers. Now we know, let's read the passage real quick. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Now the Lord gives some specific lessons here on secret prayer, or time, as we have been really preaching a lot on, as the Lord has led, on our personal time of prayer with God. It is so important. We learned last week from the lesson from the Samaritan well and the woman there, as the Lord teaches her and us on prayer and worship, that again, prayer and worship is not confined to a place. It wasn't, you can do it in Jerusalem or on Mount Gerizim. Jesus taught her that the Father seeks those who worship Him in spirit and in truth, that God just desires for us. So I'm not talking, when I say your prayer closet, I'm not talking about that one location, but I mean this, when we put the world aside and spend time with Him. Jesus did that often in the Word of God. When He, again, drew away, be it in the garden, be it on the mountaintop, but He drew away and spent time in communion with the Father. So the Lord teaches here some lessons on this type of prayer. I know I've preached on this already quite often. Brother Slee has. Others have mentioned it. We've probably heard, if you've been in church a while, many sermons. But God showed me something new in studying this. And I just want to show it to you. Not new for mankind, right? But for me. And I hope you'll glean from it too. Because you'll notice that the difference here in verses 5, 6, and 7, and 8. That there's one thing that the Lord Jesus seems to be focusing on when it comes to our prayer. And that is simply this word. Your Father. Amen. Your Father. Notice three times in these few verses on the teaching on prayer, He mentions in verse number 6, pray to thy Father. Verse number 6 at the end, and thy Father which seeth in secret. And verse number 8, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Our Father. I want you to consider a couple things from the Lord's teaching here about our secret prayer and the Father. I hope you'll jot these down or listen close, because I believe it'll be a help. Number one, the Father is waiting for us. The Father's waiting for us. Look in verse number 6. I hope you'll listen tonight. This will encourage you. It says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So God tells us to have this private time of prayer to enter into this secret closet. And the first lesson he gives us about the Father, ready? Is he's waiting for us there. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I think you'll get it the more we talk about it. What a blessing that he's waiting for us. For us, living in this world, what this is talking about when it's in secret, doesn't mean I can't tell anybody. I can tell my family if I'm praying. I can tell you when I'm praying. You know, that's not what it's talking. It's not a secret, like hide it from people. But it means this: I'm putting the world aside. I'm putting life on pause. The carnality, and not that it's evil, but the things of the world, which are demanding. I mean, to give you what I'm talking about, even Paul talked about it, and I don't want to go down this rabbit trail, but Paul talked about it when he's talking about those that are single in the church and those that are married, that those that are married have to deal with all this worldly stuff. Not that it's evil, but you got a whole lot more responsibilities, you know, but the person that's single has more time to dedicate to God. That's Paul's teaching. The carnality is not drawing them. Not that it's evil, but just the cares of this world. But it's so important for every one of us to find time, listen to me, daily, to pause the world and enter into a secret time with God. And there he is. He's waiting. I mean, the Bible, look what it says there. The first lesson that Jesus gives, it says, pray to thy Father, which, what's the next three words? Say it out loud. Is in secret. He's there. It doesn't say he'll come. It doesn't say that he might meet you there. He's there. Amen? He's waiting for us. That's why Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16 says that we can boldly come before the throne of grace and find help in our time of need. The Bible, remember last week in John chapter number 4, we looked at that lesson with the Samaritan woman. Remember that phrase that Jesus said is the one that just stuck with me all week, which really pointed us in this direction. But in John chapter 4 and verse number 23, Jesus said to this woman, he says, for the Father seeketh them to worship him. He's looking forward to this time. He's wanting and desiring for us. He's saying, now how does this apply to me? When we take the time to put away the world and put away the actions and all the thoughts of just life. I'm not talking about sin, just life. You will find the Father waiting there every time. The Spirit, when our spirit comes in contact with the invisible one, praise the Lord for this time, that he was always found there. Now, the reason why I believe Jesus made this point number one is because, ready? Let's be honest, the devil many times tries to convince us that we can't. The devil tries to convince us that we're so wicked, or we're so weak, or we're so distant, or we're so dark, or we've been so bad, that surely God even won't listen, or that we're not in a place to see God, or that we don't earn to spend time with him. Can I tell you that is blasphemy? Because Jesus' first lesson is this. When you stop and pray, he's there. He's there. He's waiting for you. You say, well, I don't even know what to pray. That's great. He's already there. The devil says, you don't even know how to pray. And all he's doing is trying to rip you and to rob you of the joy that it is in prayer. Amen. The devil tries to get you discouraged, to try to keep you from prayer, to keep your thoughts on the fact that I just can't come to the Father. No, if that's what the devil's been lying to you about, you need to quit listening to the devil and listen to the teacher who said, when you go in secret prayer, he's there. Amen. It's not that he's going to come. It's not that he might show up. He is there. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So when you go to pray, your first thought, when we go to prayer, is the Father is in secret And the Father just wants me to enter here with him. You say, but my heart's cold. Well, just because your heart is cold and maybe you haven't prayed in a long time, guess what? That means nothing. You can still find him right there. He's not going to leave. Your Father, which is in secret. Isn't that awesome? He's waiting for you. You say, but you don't know what kind of person I am. I do know this, Psalm 103, verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So I don't deserve it. He knows. But he still just wants you to come. Don't allow, like the devil wants you to think. Now listen to this statement. The devil wants you to think about how little you have to bring to God. That's what he wants you to focus on. How little you have to bring to God. But you know what Jesus is teaching us here? Is not to think about what little we have to bring to God, but we are to focus on just how much God wants to bring to us. Amen. The devil wants you to be blinded to think that he won't. But God says, don't be concentrating on the false thinking of I have nothing to bring to him. But the first lesson in private prayer is God wants us to know and to focus on just how much our God wants to give to us. Just place yourself there. Just place yourself there in the secret place and let the love of the Father, let the thoughts of his love, don't focus on I can't. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to never enjoy the relationship that you've been promised. So the Lord's lesson here is this. When you enter into that closet, you think of his love. He's the Father. How wonderful his love is. How tender his love is. How pitying his love is. You say, but preacher, I've been bad. Then tell him. I'm in a dark place. Just tell him. But it's been so cold. Just let him know. Amen. I don't know if I can find him. He's not hiding. He's told you where he's at. He's right there. But I don't feel the devil's lying to you. Can Jesus lie? No. Is God's word ever false? So where's your Father? He's in secret. He's there. He's just waiting for you. So shut the door. And pray to the Father, which is in secret. First lesson from the Lord is this. Our Father is waiting for us. The second lesson he gives us about the Father is this. Number two, the Father is wanting to help us. Isn't that wonderful? Verse number six, it says again, when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. He's waiting. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I want you to stop and ponder on that statement that Jesus made. Can Jesus lie? No. So what did he say there? Your Father, when you enter this secret place, when you just stop and pray, your Father's there. And he shall reward thee openly. If I was a psalmist, I would write Selah next to that. Stop and think about that. It doesn't say he might reward thee. It doesn't say there's a chance. There's a promise here. Amen? Amen. Do we believe the promises in the Bible? Amen. Amen. The Bible says there, he shall reward thee openly. When we go in to pray, and we stop to pray, the devil wants to try to think, why should I pray? And I believe the Lord's lesson here, and this is this, is we understand that number one, the Father's waiting for us, and number two, he wants to help us. He assures us, the Lord does here, that secret prayer cannot be fruitless. Isn't that wonderful? Has the devil ever convinced you that your prayers don't work? Has the devil ever tried to convince you that it's doing no good? Yeah, I'd say about everybody. What does Jesus say? There's no such thing as fruitless secret prayer. Amen? Amen. He shall reward thee openly. You say, well, what is that talking about? It means this: his blessings will show in our life. When we have secret time of prayer and spend it with a Father who's waiting for us, what we find is that Father is wanting to help us, and he shall reward thee openly. What a blessing. We'll see it. We'll see the blessings. See, how will I see the answer to my prayers? In the blessings of your life. Let's be honest, what's the devil do? He tries to get us in a dark place, try to make us think we can't pray, try to make us think that prayer is ineffective, and it is destroying our relationship and our fellowship that we should be having with God. When the truth of things are, not my opinion, Jesus said it. Amen? That when we pray, he's waiting for us. You'll always find him. He's always there. And not just is he waiting for you, but he's wanting to help you. He is wanting to bless you. And the answer to this secret time of prayer will be seen in the blessings of your life. It says there, he shall reward thee openly. Ready? Let's just be really practical. You know, and you've seen it if you've been saved a while and in church. You know there's certain people that you know they pray. Doesn't mean they're rich. Doesn't mean they got a huge car. But you know that God's hand of blessing is on their life, because there's joy, righteousness, and peace. And they're enjoying the kingdom because they are having this secret time with the Lord. That we have an opportunity. Our part is simply this: to go in with a childlike faith. In simplicity. Now listen to me. And in confidence. That when I pray, God's going to bless. You see, that's awful boastful. That's what Jesus said. Amen? I'm not being bragging. I'm not being prideful. The Word of God says, when we pray to our Father, which is in secret, that our Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. In other words, it will be evident in your life. A lot of times, and here's where the devil, again, I'm trying to show you what the devil tries to do to combat this. Everything the Lord wants, the devil wants to keep it from you. Everything. So he's attacked this in people's lives and saying this. Well, you know, they try to convince people that, you know, you just don't have that kind of prayer life. You just don't beg enough, or you're not fervent enough. That's not what the Lord teaches here. In Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that word diligently seek him means they seek him out. See, what is that? That's when I shut the world away and I enter my secret time of prayer, and my only obligation is to believe, according to the Bible, that God is. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible says. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. We can handle that. You know what the devil tries to convince us of? That you can't do it. You're not reaching God. You're not able to do this. My friend, the answer's not in me, and it's not in you. The blessings of God in our life is not based upon how I pray. It's based upon who I'm praying to, and his power and his faithfulness, that he is a God that I can just entrust my life to him, and that when I enter the secret prayer time, I will find a Father who is waiting for me, and a Father who is wanting to help me. And thirdly, in verse number 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Secret prayer is all about the Father and understanding that he's waiting for me, he wants to help me. And ready, thirdly, my Father is so wise. The Bible says, Jesus is teaching, that he knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, at first that may come out and I just say, well, then why should I even pray, right? If the Lord already knows what I need. Now, what this teaching is this. It allows me to be able to rest in my prayer that I can trust him. The Bible doesn't say there the Father knows, and he does, but he's going to give me everything I want. But my wise Father that always meets me, that wants to help me, he knows what I have need of before I even ask him. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I glean from this passage of Scripture right there that we don't have to compel God to listen to us. I don't have to twist his arm to try to hear me. I don't have to beg him to hear me. Has the devil ever tried to make you think that? I don't have to. There's some religions that base themselves on this. You have to climb up steps in order to earn God's love or his ear. I'm glad it's not my God. I don't have to compel God to listen to me. And listen to me, I don't have to convince God that I need something. Our prayer life sometimes gets off on that, huh? God, I don't think you hear me. You don't understand. I really need this. The Lord's teaching is, he's waiting for you. He wants to help you. And he already knows what you need. So you can rest. I don't have to compel God to listen to me. I don't have to convince God I need something. And I don't have to convict God to help me. I don't have to sometimes our prayer life is, God, you don't understand. I really, maybe even gone to a point where we've tried to tell God that, not that you've said these words, but you're wrong for not doing this for me. I know you didn't say those words, but we feel like somehow we need to convict God to feel sorry for us. The Lord's teaching here is he assures us that our Father knows my needs. You know what that does for me? That when I enter into my closet, I know he's there. That's one dart the devil can't use now. And when I enter into that closet, I know he wants to help me. There goes the devil's other dart. And when I enter into that closet, I know whatever the Lord decides, he knows what's best for me. He knows the need. It allows me to leave my prayer closet knowing if it's his will and it's for his glory, he will do it. And he's always right. Amen. What that allows is if there's a delay in my answer, you ever prayed and God's delayed in that answer? If there's a delay in my answer because of this teaching the Lord gives us, I can still say, Father, you know what I need. If there's a denial in what I'm praying for, I can say, Father, you know what I need. Or if there's an answer, a delight in God answering that prayer, I can look to heaven and say, Father, you know what I need. The Lord teaches us what prayer is. And it's good for us to glean from Jesus' teaching here to understand that there's a Father when we shut the door who is waiting for us and wanting to help us, and he is so wise. He knows what we need. You know what this does for us? It gives us liberty. Oh, the simplicity! The Lord is teaching us here to just be as a child come to our Father. And He's always there. Sometimes we get so occupied with our needs, we forget He already knows. So the Lord, in lesson number one on teaching, direct teaching on prayer, and one of the only lessons, there's a few others, but He wants us to know, as He gathers His disciples and all those on what it is to pray, He says, He's your Father. And He's waiting for you. He wants you to come. He wants to help. And He will. And He's wise and He knows our needs. Just to be with Him. Just to enter that closet should bring us great joy. An assurance that He's going to openly reward. I am so blessed that I have a Father who knows what I need. It sets us free. Philippians chapter 4, look at this verse and we'll close. Philippians chapter number 4 and in verse number 19, you probably could quote it, but I hope you kind of see it again here, a different light. In Philippians 4 and verse number 19, it says this, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know how we tap into that? Shut the door. Don't let the devil lie to you. The Father's in secret. And He wants to help you and bless you. And He will every time. And He knows your need already. As a child, just crawl up in His lap tonight and say thank you. Got that heavy burden? He already knows. But tell Him. The devil's been trying to convince you. You can't. The devil's a liar. He's a liar and the father of lies. Jesus said, He's already there. And He will reward thee. And He knows your need. And what it does for me as His disciple is just enjoy it.
Amen.
Which is what God wants.